We thank God for you today. Thank God for giving us another chance that we can assemble ourselves together to worship and praise his name. I don't know about you, but every day passed, I want to just tell him thank you for being so good. Because so many hundreds and thousands of people were ushered into eternity since March until this day. And God spared us. We should be able to tell him thank you. Yes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, it's with grateful hearts that we stand in your presence today. With grateful hearts, oh God, telling you thank you. Thank you because you've been good to us. You've been so good to us. There's so many hundreds of thousands have been ushered in eternity all over this world as a result of one little virus. But oh God, you spared us, and we want to tell you thank you. Not only did you spare us, you spared our family members, and we want to tell you thank you. Lord Jesus, our heart breathes for those that don't have this same testimony. That's why we ask you, God, that you would comfort them today. I pray, Lord, as we humbly submit ourselves to your will and to your purpose, we're asking you, Lord, that you would have your way. We know, God, that you ordained this day before the foundation of the world. You knew we were going to be here. You knew we were going to be standing right here. And not only did you know, God, you have a purpose and you have a plan. Lord Jesus, we ask you today, let your purpose and your plan be fulfilled in this service. Each and every one that will listen, whether they're listening by way of the phone line or whether they're watching us on Facebook Live, wherever it is, oh God. Lord Jesus, it was ordained before the foundation of the world that they'll be listening today. I'm asking you, oh God, that you will do what only you can do. Meet your people at the point of their need. Lord Jesus, touch them in their hearts, in their souls, in their minds, in their spirits, and in their body. And as we hunger and thirst after your righteousness, oh God, fill us up to an overflow. Fill us till we want no more. I pray, Lord Jesus, for your man of God as he would go forth with your word today. Oh God, hide him behind the cross. Give him a right now word, Lord Jesus. A word that will suit your people. A word that will meet your people at the point of their need. Move, speak, God. We thank you for it. Right now, Lord Jesus, let your Holy Spirit show up and show out. Do what you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join with me for our scripture lesson today. And for today's lesson, I will be reading from John, the 10th chapter. That's the gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. And we'll be reading verses 1 on through 18. And the portion of scripture today is going to be talking about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. St. John, chapter 10. Here beginning at the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door in the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but would flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolves coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scatter the sheep. A hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. Verse numbers 18, you would join in with me if you will. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And the word of God is already blessed. Amen.
Grace. Zion. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoiced and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I was glad when God woke me up this morning and had me on his mind, allowed me to have him on my mind. And I had coming to the house of God on my mind. Amen. It's a good opportunity, a good blessing to be able to walk into the house of the Lord or take time out to spend time with the Lord. Amen. Here's a word from the Lord for us today. And if you're turning your Bible with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17. The Gospel according to Luke, and I want to take you at chapter 17. I'm going to commence reading when I start at verse 11. Shine a sermonic spotlight, verses 11 through 19. Of Luke chapter 17. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, once again for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way. But we just thank you just for being God all by yourself. We thank you, Father God, not because all the many, many blessings that you have given to us, not all the mercy that you've given to us, but because you're God. We just thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Because, Father God, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be where we are right now. And we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your long suffering.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Father God, for having patience with us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We are a needy people, but that's why you are our shepherd and we are the sheep. You're always there giving us what we need, and we thank you. You said we have not because we ask not. So, Father God, right now we're asking you to allow your Holy Spirit to exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, make your word plain enough so that a child can understand it. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Father God, we ask you and plead with you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father God, we know that we don't have to be very schooled or have any degree, but you said that you will pour into us, Father God, your spirit and make your word plain to us. So we ask that you do that. Bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. And wherever your people are sitting down at this present time, Father God, envelop them with an aha moment when we hear your word today. We thank you, Father God. Use me in spite of me, hide me behind the cross, Father God. Allow me to do just what you want me to do. Give me the ability and skills that you have imparted to me. Stir the gift on the inside of me. And Father God, whenever it's accomplished in this setting, we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people heareth. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Amen. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And we know that God's word is already blessed. I'd like to talk to you this morning for a short while simply about grace. Grace. Amen.
Amen.
If you're wondering if I asked a musician to play that song, no, I didn't. I had a conversation with him, so you know how God is in control. Grace. Thanksgiving for me, for years, has been a worthy doorkeeper to the holiday season. The consumer industry has really taken this thing so far, actually taking it too far. Even before Halloween, they start hanging lights for Christmas, getting you ready for Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Thankful Tuesday, getting you in the mood to spend some money. I was watching a segment on a comedy channel this week that was making fun of Black Friday. The little girl was in the car with her grandfather on Black Friday. They were an African-American family. The granddaughter asked her grandfather, Grandpa, can we go to Walmart? The grandfather replied, girl, are you out of your mind? All these people are in the store right now. Don't you know it is Black Friday? The granddaughter replied to her father, grandfather, what's wrong, Grandpa? You black, right? It is not about the season of the year. It's not about turkey and stuffing. It's not about lights and trees. Because when you know Jesus Christ, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the holiday, or the observance, was first held in 1611 after the winter of 1610 had reduced the number of pilgrims or Puritans who came to the New World down from 406 pilgrims to 60 pilgrims. When you read the history of that, the pilgrims were looking for New York Harbor or Boston Harbor, but they landed at Plymouth Rock. Not because they were looking for Plymouth Rock, but they ran out of beer. And they were looking for a place to get some ale, some beer. Why? Because water was not proper to drink at that time, because there was no sanitation process. So they were looking for somewhere to turn and to find themselves something to drink for their health. But 406 of them were on the Mayflower, and only 60 of them lasted the winter. So along with some of the Native Americans, they took time to give God thanks for his grace, that even at that number, God was able to keep them. In 1789, George Washington called for a national holiday, a national time of thanksgiving. During the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, he declared that the last Thursday in the month of November would be Thanksgiving Day. Congress ratified it and made it officially an American holiday. But for the believer, waking up in the morning is a day of Thanksgiving. Being able to dress yourself, being able to speak, hear, taste, or smell, every good gift Every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of all lights, and he makes no shadow of his turning. I don't need a national holiday on a calendar to tell me to give God thanks. When I think about his goodness, his grace, and his mercy, his goodness and his loving kindness towards me, my heart response is thank you. Walk me around the text. Look at these men who are on the side of the road. And Jesus is on his way to a certain place. And he happens upon a tragic congregation. 10 men who are stricken with leprosy. When you read the book of Leviticus, it tells us that leprosy is deeper than the skin. Not only does pus oozing sores come out of the skin, but feeling leaves the appendages and the fingers, toes fall off, fingers fall off. But leprosy is deeper than the skin. Leprosy is a type of sin. Because sin is just not on the surface. Sin goes down to the very heart of the individual. And every last one of these 10 was stricken with leprosy. The leprosy is not only deeper than the skin, but it spreads. Not only is it deeper than the skin, it spreads, but it also defiles. Not only is it deeper than the skin, it's spreading and defiling, but it isolates. They had to shout out from a distance, unclean, unclean. Leprosy defile, leprosy distance, leprosy dooms all who are afflicted by it. And everybody without Jesus Christ is stricken with leprosy of sin. Sin is deeper than the skin. Sin spreads. Sin defiles. Sin isolates. Sin lets you come to church, but you don't feel God's presence. You are at church, but you are not in church. You are in the presence of God himself, but you can't open your mouth and say thank you. Because your sin makes you believe you are not that bad. It don't take all of that, you say. Church lasting too long. He talks and preaches too loud. The choir sings too long. I'm ready to go home. I just showed up because it's Sunday. I want to let you know that's sinner talk. That's sinner talk. That's how sinners talk. They say it's too many churches in this neighborhood. That's what sinners say. Amen. Sinners never say that there's too many dope houses in the neighborhood. Amen. Sinners never say that there's too many clubs in the neighborhood. Oh, sinners man. Never say there's too many liquor stores in the neighborhood. That's sinner talk. Well, Sinners are always looking for an option to get out doing what God says to do. Amen. Because sin will always take you further than you intended to go.
Yeah, true.
These men were afflicted with the dreaded disease of leprosy. It spreads, it defiles, it distances, it isolates so that they are by themselves on the outskirts of the city. And here's what they do. All of them together, all 10 of them cry out, Master, Master, have mercy on us. They did the right thing. Somehow they heard that Jesus could help them. I don't know where they got it from because they could not go to the temple. They could not be around any church people because they were unclean. But somehow Jesus' reputation got out. Somebody under the sound of my voice heard about Jesus. You heard that he was a heart fixer. You heard that he was a burden bearer. You heard that he could lift up a bowed down head. You heard that Jesus would be a company keeper. You heard it that when you by yourself, Jesus would be a friend that sticking closer than a brother. You didn't know how to rationalize it. You didn't have a Bible. You just followed what you heard. Kind of like blind Bartimaeus. He was blind and he heard that Jesus was passing by. The woman with an issue of blood, she heard that Jesus was passing by. Zacchaeus just heard that Jesus was coming his way, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Just heard that Jesus was happening by. The woman that was bowed down and could not raise herself up, she did not even see Jesus. She just heard that he was passing by. And she said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed." You just got to hear about Jesus. You just got to hear about him. And Jesus can do some miraculous things in your life. The Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter was possessed by demons, heard about Jesus. The Gadarene demonic just heard about Jesus. These 10 men belonged to a tragic congregation. People who were stricken with leprosy. And so I don't lose y'all. Anybody, you say, why pastor saying congregation? Because in a Jewish, to make a Jewish synagogue, to make it a church, all you need is 10 men. This was a tragic congregation. This morning at the sound of my voice, all of us are stricken with something. I don't care how holy you think you are. I don't care how large the print is in your Bible. Hear me, y'all. I don't care how much you pick it up or pray. Everybody is battling something.
Yes, sir.
I wish I could see 5 or 6 believers under the sound of my voice. I wish I had some folk like myself who would testify that I don't have it all together.
No, sir.
I wish I can tell you I had it together. But I have still got some issues.
Oh, yes.
I still have some decisions I wish I had not made.
Yes,
I still have some things I'm wrestling with.
Yes,
I still have been, and I've been a Christian a long time.
Yes.
I don't come to church, Deacon Drake, just because I got to preach. I come to church because I'm wrestling with stuff. And I need the Lord to give me some grace and mercy.
Yes.
I come here every week because my cry is loud. Have mercy on me, God. I am a sinner.
Yes,
don't call it what nothing that it is not.
Right.
Don't call it schizophrenia. Don't call it a psychological maladjustment. Don't say it's because my zodiac sign. Don't say that's just the way I am. That's just the way I was raised. No, you and me are a sinner. And when you admit that to yourself, you can drop your mask.
Yes,
you can drop the charade. You can stop the pretense when you drop all of that. When you drop all of that, you don't care what people will think about you. You don't care what nobody else feels about you. I came in this morning because I need grace and mercy.
Yes, yes.
I always leave church, y'all, what I came for. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And when you praise God with all your heart, you leave with what you came for. I heard the voice of Jesus said, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, weary one. Lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I was asking for help. Oh, but I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. I always leave church with what I came for. Now, for a whole lot of people, church is just somewhere to go. But for many of us, church is somewhere we have to be. Because I need grace. I need favor. I need strength for another week. Because the devil done took it all out of me last week.
Yes,
circumstances took it out of me last week.
Yes,
I need the Lord to replenish my strength for this week.
Yes.
I need God to give me some grace to deal with the low-down Negroes on my job.
Yes.
I need grace to deal with the stress of just being black in this country.
Yes,
you need a Savior called Jesus to stand up under all of this stress.
Yes.
Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou, God, withdraw thy hands from me, where will I go? I need grace. Lord, have mercy on me. The stress is about to kill me. The problem of this world is about to weigh me down. I need some grace.
Yes, Lord, I need your grace.
In the midst of this tragic congregation of leprosy, I want you to look at a tremendous compassion. Because when you read the text, they said, Jesus, have mercy on us.
Yes.
Jesus stops. Now, under the Levitical law, they deserve nothing.
Uh-huh.
All 10 of them were under the sentence of death.
Yes, they were.
There was a death warrant on every last one of them.
Yes.
Because they were outside the fellowship.
Yes.
Jesus owed them nothing. But when they met Jesus, they found out what they were not looking for. They found grace.
Yes.
Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest.
Yes.
My Lord.
Go show yourselves to the priest. Do what the law says. Because the law says, once you have been cleansed, you must go yourself to the priest so he can validate your cleansing. But they had not been cleansed yet. If they had stayed right there, they would have remained in their leprous condition.
Yes.
So it took faith.
Yes,
can I get a witness up in here?
Yes, yes, yes.
So it took faith for them to go and show themselves, even though they had not been cleansed. But the Bible says,
yes,
on the way.
On the way now.
Woo.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, on the way. Brothers and sisters, here's the shout. When you do what Jesus says,
yes,
it may not make sense to you right away. But if you just follow his voice,
yes,
and do what he says, he will bless you.
Yes, he will.
On the way. I need somebody under the sound of my voice who did not know how things were going to work out.
Uh-huh.
You just showed up at the bank looking for a loan.
Yeah.
And on the way, God got in the heart of the banker and met your needs.
Yes.
You didn't know what the test was going to turn out to be at the doctor's office.
Right.
But on the way, God had already worked out the x-rays. So that when you got to the office, they told you, we don't need to operate no more. God has always worked it out. If you just trust God, he will bless you on the way. On the way, just doing what Jesus said. They are walking through the temple. Watch me now, listen. And as they go, their flesh is cleansed.
Yes.
Their flesh becomes pretty, supple, as soft, as pure, as a newborn baby. Because when Jesus cleanses you, it's not like oil of a lady. It's not like Dove or some product you can buy in an apartment store. Y'all ain't hearing me.
Right.
It's not like any of those products that you purchase. When Jesus cleanses you, there are no blemishes. I need somebody who Jesus has cleansed and the Lord just washed your sins away. There's nothing left on your record because Jesus washed it all away. That's why we shout so much. Hello. Woo. Those of us who do shout, that is the reason we shout with so much enthusiasm. Because God has thrown our sins behind his back and God never lets them come up again. Yes, that's what I'm preaching about, grace. God's unmerited favor. What can wash away my sins?
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The only people who can shout now is the people who have been washed. I have some decisions I wish I would not have never made. There's some stuff in my past I wish I can go back and undo. I wish I had put this up here. But thank God for grace. When God could have taken me out, he gave me another chance. Grace. When God could have erased my name out of the book of life, he gave me another chance. Grace. I came in this morning not because I've been so holy, but God looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I feel like shouting right now. When I was reading all this passage, Deacon Trey, I said, right here on this part, I said, I should shout right here. Why do I feel that way? I'm going to tell you why I should feel I should shout. Because on the way, on the way, on the way, they were cleansed.
Yes.
All 10 of them. But one of them. Just one. Are y'all in here? Just one of them. When he looked at himself. Turned back and said, I can't be blessed like this.
Go back and start that.
And don't go back and say something.
Yes,
I can't be healed like this. And keep my mouth closed.
Yes.
I can't be cleansed like this.
My God.
And don't go back and tell that man, thank you.
Lord.
He turned around and said, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Here's the shout. Here we go, another one. Just like you cried out when you were in trouble,
yes.
Go back and thank God with the same excitement when you're not in trouble.
Yes.
Go back and shout with the same volume. Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Now listen, Pastor. He was a Samaritan.
Yes, he was. Wow.
Yes. A half-breed. A nobody, no pedigree, no family background, no history to speak of. Somebody who had been written off as a Samaritan.
That's it. Nobody.
There's someone on the side of my voice with no background.
That's it. Yeah.
No pedigree, no daddy who used to be a deacon, no grandfather who used to be a pastor in the church. You have been written off by people who said you would never be anything. But here you are this morning.
Yeah.
You're looking good wherever you are. I can see you all. I know you all are dressed up in your living room with your makeup on. You ladies are looking fine and you brothers are looking dapper. I know you all. I can see you in the spirit.
Yes.
You should go back and find those people who said you would never make it.
Yeah.
And say to them, look at me now. How you like me now? You talked about me when I got pregnant. You talked about me when I got divorced.
Uh-huh.
You said I would never amount to anything because I did not go or finish college. How you like me now?
Yes.
Don't you let anybody make you embarrassed because you did not come from nowhere or had no pedigree background. It really does not matter where you came from.
Thank you, Lord.
When you meet Jesus, he determines where you are going. Jesus said, did I not cleanse 10? Were not the 10 men cleansed? Where then are the 9? You mean to tell me nobody turned around except this stranger? Brothers and sisters, hear me. The man noticed something that the 9 did not consider. Because watch what the text says. Listen. 10 were cleansed. I'm in the book. But one,
only one,
was healed.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
10 were cleansed. But only one
was healed.
You don't hear me.
I hear you, Pastor. What a difference.
Yes, indeed.
What a difference.
Only one was healed. Listen, because cleansing is skin deep.
That's it.
But healing goes down to your soul. I don't just shout because I got cleansed. I'm shouting because I've been made whole. Shackled by a heavy burden. Beneath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. I remember since my daddy's church, Sister Andy, she used to sing this song. When she get done, the whole church be tore up. Now I'm no longer the same. Since I met the blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him.
Well,
I will shout it while eternity rolls.
Yes.
He touched me.
Oh, he touched me.
One Sunday morning in Nassau, Bahamas, Salem Union Baptist Church, he touched me.
Mm-hmm.
And all the joy that filled my soul.
Yes, right.
Something, I said something,
right.
Happened.
Uh-huh.
I don't have enough schooling to explain it to you. I don't have enough sense to try and explain it to you.
Yes, yes.
I just know that something happened.
Yes.
I looked at my hands.
Uh-huh.
Y'all ain't getting that. That's what the older saints used to say.
Uh-huh.
Says, I look at my hands.
They were new.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Uh-huh.
I looked at my hands,
yes, sir.
And they were new.
They were new.
Is there anybody that can testify?
Yes.
Not only did the Lord cleanse you, but he made you whole.
Amen.
This is what that man did.
Uh-huh.
The scripture said he glorified God. He gave God the glory. He talking about grace.
Yes.
He shouted, jumped all around, all over the place, on the ground. And when the Lord has made you whole, can't nobody sit you down.
That's right.
It can't help you if the ushers failing you. That ain't helping you because Jesus done
made you whole.
Because you came to church to cut up with a purpose to cut up in church.
Yes, yes, yes.
You came to church to make a noise.
Uh-huh.
I asked the Lord to help me, and the Lord has helped me.
Yes, yes.
Then I came to church to give God the praise.
Yes.
People you see crying and wonder if it's all well, you say, is everything going okay in your life? I'm just glad that our Lord has saved me, that's all.
Yes.
I'm happy that he saved me. I'm just glad the Lord let me live one more day.
One more day.
I'm just thankful that the Lord let me come to church. I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave.
Yes.
Somebody could have broken into my house last night,
yes.
Took my life while I was trying to get me some sleep.
Wow.
But God put his angels all around me.
Thank you, Lord.
Around my house and my family.
Yes.
I'm actually living Psalms 91.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has hidden me in the secret of his tabernacle.
Yes.
He has not allowed the Newsome pestilence to come nigh my dwelling,
yes,
or nigh my family.
Yes.
God said, you will not fear the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day.
Yes.
All night, all day. God got his angels.
Thank you, Lord.
Watching over me.
Yes, yes.
It is dangerous, Reverend Lyles, on I-75, when I got to drive back and forth to work, preparing for Bible study, preparing for the prayer line, preparing to preach on Sunday. I'm so exhausted someday. But God has his hands,
yes,
he does,
on my steering wheel.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. God has allowed me to work every day.
Lord.
And now I'm here on Sunday morning.
Yes.
I'm not crying because I got problems in my life, not because my child is in jail. I have food on my table, money for my job. My body is not sick. I'm here because God has blessed me with all those things.
Amen. Lord. Yes. Amen.
Somebody in my family could have gotten killed last week, but God has been good to my children, to my grandchild. So I come here to tell God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God has really been good to me. Got food on the table.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I didn't have to get in the food line.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not done yet. I woke up this morning.
Uh-huh.
Had my health and my strength.
Yes, Lord.
I can dress myself. Y'all
yes,
hear me?
Lord.
I was in my right mind.
Yes, Lord.
Nobody but the Lord did that.
Okay.
If the Lord has been good to you, you ought to not be embarrassed to testify.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If the Lord has opened doors
yes.
for you, you ought not care who is looking at you. Won't you just tell God thank you?
Thank you.
Tell him thank you.
Thank
not
you.
Just for Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh.
Not because every day is Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
God, thank you for giving me grace.
Mm-hmm.
God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my strength. Thank you for my grace. Thank you for my car. Thank you for the church you gave me and blessed me with. And the flock you gave me to watch over. Thank you. I really do not come to thank God really for all that trivial stuff.
Yes.
Cars, cash, house, health. That's trivial stuff.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I'm finna get up out of here. Y'all ain't liking me.
That's
trivial stuff.
Yes, go ahead.
Do you know why I came digging drain this morning?
Love you.
I came digging drain this morning to thank God for sending Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
For sending him down through 42 generations.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all ain't feeling me. Born of a virgin. I'm coming to thank him for that.
Yes, Lord.
He laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He went into the temple one day at the age of 12. He went into the temple, Deacon Drayton, at the age of 12, gave himself his own ordination service. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He left out of the temple, and when he left out of the temple, his first miracle, he turned water into wine.
Yes, 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 he did.
The Bible tells me that he walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, loosened dumb tongues. Y'all didn't hear me. He set the captives free. But he went and did what he came to do. And he died.
Yes, he
died. He died, y'all. They whipped him all night long.
All night long.
All night long, says Amy.
Yes, he did.
They whipped him. He didn't say a mumbling word.
Word.
Slapped him, spit on him, pulled his hair out. And he made him carry his own cross up to Golgotha, to Calvary.
Yes.
But I'm so glad.
I'm
so glad he didn't call a legion of angels to take him back to his father. They hung him on the cross, stretched him wide, hung him high. But they messed up and said, because if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He hung there. He hung there, y'all. He didn't get down. The Bible told me love kept him on the cross. He hung there so long that all the dead got up and had a party in New Jerusalem. Y'all ain't hearing me. The stars fell from the sky. The moon dripped in blood. And then he looked up and said, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. And y'all said, well, I heard that before, but let me give y'all a little insight. And since you educated me, let me tell you something. You say, well, that really happened. Then you hear another preacher. I heard some preachers say this. But I checked this thing out. NASA scientists, using an atomic clock, did a check backwards in history. And they said that for a moment in time, during the time that Jesus died, that time stopped.
I said it did. It did. It stopped.
Time stopped when he gave up the ghost. While he had the weight of the world and sins on his shoulder, time stopped. That means that the Son of Man was making pardon for us. He was making pardon for our sin. And the weight of sin was so heavy on his shoulder. He said, no man take my life. I lay my life down because I got the power to pick it back up again. And if you think he did went dead and laid there for 3 days in a borrowed tomb, the devil is alive. The Bible tells me he went and took captive, the captives captive, and set them free. And he pimp slapped Satan.
Come on, God.
Took the sting out of death and power from the grave.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And early.
Early.
I got to go. Y'all ain't feeling me. Early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Power to deliver me from whatever I'm going through. Why? And he gave me some grace.
Yes.
Grace. Something I didn't deserve. Grace. New every morning. Grace when I get stubborn with him. Grace when I'm disobedient with him. Grace when I just don't act right with him. He loves me all the more.
Grace.
God's grace. I thank God for his grace. May God bless and keep you. This is Pastor's Prayer.
And I listened to the message of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, my brothers and my sister. The sacrifice that he made allows us to be forgiven of all of our sins.
Yes.
And not only does it allow us to be forgiven of all of our sins, it teaches us how to walk right.
Yes,
it teaches us how to talk right. Because what's the point in him dying if we cannot even obey him? If he knew we couldn't do what he wanted us to do, it was no point in him dying. But he died because he wanted to make us different. He wanted you to know I'm a child of God. I look different from the world. I act different from the world. Why? Because he came into our lives. Now, on the other hand, when we miss the mark, after we've done everything we know how to do, that's where he says we have an advocate with the Father. Because we say, Father, I tried as hard as I could to do what you called me to do, but I missed the mark. Amen. And Paul says, don't take that grace for granted.
Yes.
So we can do anything we want to do and then say his grace will cover me. My brothers and my sister, his grace cover you when you make an effort to do what he called you to do. And his grace will cover you and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
That was on my heart today.
Yes.
If you're under the sound of my voice and you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, we're going to open up the doors of the church. And if you want to receive him as the Lord and Savior of your life, my brothers and my sister, his grace is extended to you today. Grace that will help you to walk right. Grace that will help you to talk right. Grace that will help you to have a desire to be what he wants you to be. Bow your head with me. I will pray for each and every one of you that want to turn your lives around and want to do what the scripture says. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. And just before I pray, there may be one or two of you, you've given up on church and you don't have a church home. We want to welcome you to be a part of the family of God. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray for my brother and my sister under the sound of my voice. That one that says, I want to take advantage of God's grace. And they want Jesus into their lives. I pray, Father, that you would touch them in their hearts, in their minds, in their souls, and in their body, and receive them into the family of God. That one, Lord, that had given up on church, but they heard the word of God today about your grace and about your mercy, and they want to come back to the family of God. Give them the courage, oh God, to make that step towards the church of God. And may we, God, be in a position that we can receive them according to your grace. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your hands for the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the church say, amen.
Amen.